It's 8:30 on a Tuesday morning, and now, as promised, some hard talk with Gavin Steinhoebel. It's always a pleasure on a Wednesday morning to look hard at facts and the matters before us. This week has been another interesting roller coaster. We'll certainly kicked off with revelations of an incredibly damning nature by Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi, resulting in that disappointment on Sunday evening. I'm sure you have thoughts on the matter.
I do. I mean, obviously, I mean, South Africans must realize by now that the ANC has entirely become a criminal organization. And I mean, I don't think I've met anyone on the streets or anyone I've spoken to that's remotely surprised that the Minister of Police is being manipulated by organized crime in this country, because we just know that this is business as usual for the ANC. And you know, there are no surprises left. I think the only surprise that we'd have is if we found out there was an ANC minister who was not corrupt. You know, and that's just the way that things have been going in this country for 30 years. And it started with the arms deal, and once that was swept under the rug, it was all gates are open for criminality amongst the politicians, because, you know, they're the party of no consequences. And then once again, when the serious allegations are made and there's proof, and it was given to the public in a public address saying, we have this, we have that, I mean, the proof is there, the president should act. And as usual, I think this is now the sixth commission of inquiry. The first five have cost 2 billion rand. That's what it's cost you and me, Dave. And not a single arrest afterwards, although everybody knows who did what. You know, so, it's the old Stalingrad tactic of the ANC. Just kick for touch. People don't remember things for very long, and maybe in your first six-month report or your three-month report, by then, you know, everybody's like, oh, I can't remember exactly what this is all about. And, you know, after a year, there are no more consequences, and, you know, it'll just be another one that's paid for. We pay for the judge, we pay for two advocates, and then we just shelve it somewhere in some dark recess in a cellar somewhere. You know, it's that's the tactic. The party of no accountability. Nobody ever has to account for anything in that party.
Why do we continue to suffer with no consequences in a country that is so special? I mean, and I say this, you know, it sounds twee to say so special, but
you don't, Dave, remember that the fortunes of this party are declining, but it takes time, and it's a pity it takes time, and it's a pity that we can't have an election tomorrow morning and get rid of them. But that we are get rid of them, we are definitely going to do, and I think everybody feels that way, whatever the color of your skin or whatever your culture or whatever your background, I think everybody goes, well, you know what, these clowns have just gone too far, you know. And
well, that's my feeling, is that this was now a bridge too far. I mean, for the president of the country, who up until fairly recently still was able to command a level of respect because of the station that he bears, but when you call a public address, a pact with South Africa, with you and with everyone in the country, we're going to have a family meeting, as he calls them ridiculously, but this is it now. And we're going to meet at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
To be a family member of his.
But still, here is he calls South Africa to a meeting at 7 o'clock, and he doesn't pitch until 7:30 or thereafter. It almost defies logic.
What a sign of utter disrespect to the country. But I mean, they don't respect us. They don't respect the voters. They don't respect their taxpayers. They're just purely on a power surge. And, you know, I think we're looking at the last kicks of a dying horse. Personally, you know, the government of national unity was precisely, you know, established so that the ANC wouldn't run roughshod over us anymore. And, you know, the problem is that they kept important ministries that they know nothing about. like trade and industry. I mean, there is no ANC minister who's ever been in business who understands industry, or who, you know, their appointees are not those people. You know, they're normally people with a little bit of a Marxist bent, you know, the absolute antithesis of what business is. So, you know, foreign affairs, I mean, that's been an abject failure. I mean, you can't, I mean, Jonas has just been rejected by the Americans as an ambassador because of the things that he's previously said about Trump. And we knew this in April. Well, why are we persisting?
You know, the ANC is saying he's not an ambassador. He's a special envoy. A
special envoy, because we don't have an ambassador. Yes.
And special envoys don't have to be accredited, you see. They don't have to be.
Yeah, no. We've always got a story, you know. We always do. You know, the ANC will always do something completely obtuse and then afterwards find some justification or asinine argument for why it isn't quite what it looks like. You know, well, it is always what it looks like. It looks like you're incompetent. It looks like, it looks like you're corrupt. That's what it looks like. Don't explain it away. We can all see it now. You know, we've been seeing it for years. The problem is that although we're very lucky in this country that we do have these things ventilated, at least we know about them. At least we did have the Zondo Commission, but the Zondo Commission was basically a power ploy or a tactic from Zuma, saying, "All right, you guys say I'm the most corrupt president in history, and so forth. Let's have a commission and see who isn't corrupt." And then when we've all had our hand and we've all been exposed for having our hand in the same cookie jar, we can't point at each other and say, "Well, chap, you stole the cookies," because, well, you did too, mate. And that's precisely why they're the party of no consequences, because they're all equally corrupt. And if one of them were to really publicly point a finger at the other, he'd have, four fingers pointing back at him, as the saying goes. And so, you know, they just can't really act on these things because they're all complicit. So this Mkhwanazi's been a breath of fresh air. I think there was their march yesterday in Durban in support of him. I'm not sure.
There have been several marches literally the entire week. Mm. But I think you're referring to the Durban march yesterday. Mm. Yeah. Now it's interesting that we've also been flagged as a country at great risk of coup d'etat. It's emerged in the past couple of days that there's been intelligence to indicate that there has been a strong, well, not possibility, there's been apparently a strong move in that direction. According to the report that I read, it was based on the fact that there had been several visits to the USA prompting or almost asking for permission and possibly help to get involved and to rectify the situation in this country.
I'd find that very hard to believe. I mean, coups are normally orchestrated by the military. I mean, I don't think our military could shoot itself in the foot at the moment, never mind orchestrate a coup d'etat.
well, there it is. As I say, it's a trending story, and we'll possibly revisit that at a later stage once more facts have been put on the table.
I think this is a perfect opportunity for the partners in the GNU to actually start being effective at something. You know, to stop squabbling amongst themselves, identify the common enemy, which is the ANC and their corrupt ministers. And start working towards change in this country. You know, all this squabbling between Mashaba and the DA and the PA, and, you know, come on, guys, grow up. You know, you're sitting there, just become serious people. You're sitting in Parliament, you have some power, you have some say, and I think you need to start playing hardball. You know, get things done. You know, I mean, don't accept this kicking into touch. The minister should be fired. You know, the president, the ministers serve at the indulgence of the president, and he can at any stage revoke their appointments. It's not like one has all the obligations that an employer has in the job market in this country, where you have to hold hearings and find out what these are. Allegations that are so serious and don't seem unfounded that they cast complete doubt on the integrity of the man. Now, you can't have somebody serving the highest office in the police force that people, when people doubt his integrity, it's just a simple thing. You know, you have to say, well, okay, well, let's get rid of him. Let the law take its course. Take the thing to the courts. One of the things they never do, you know, they always deflect by taking this off to a commission where nobody can get convicted of anything. You know, only after the commission could the presiding officer recommend prosecutions, which never happened, by the way. So it's way better than dragging him off to the High Court and prosecuting him for corruption. You know, because now all he has to do is appear at a commission for the next 3 years. You know,
well, it's interesting to see that that there's parliamentary investigations are ongoing along with this commission of inquiry.
Correct. But again, we're in the wrong forum. This is criminality, and we should be in the criminal courts.
You don't think that Ian Cameron's investigations will lead to that? Because if they uncover evidence,
I think if you're an optimistic person. You would think so. But if you look at the history of the ANC, you will notice that they never get prosecuted. Never. And not only that, whatever funds and money they've received, their ill-gotten gains, whatever they've stolen or received as bribes, that never gets taken from them. It never gets repaid to the government. And so the party of no consequences continues. And this is the same tactic, and South Africans are being asked to fall for it once again.
You know, you raise an interesting question. And on last week's Uncensored with Penny for Ree, there was a discussion with what was a councillor, opposition councillor, who said, you know, the money that was stolen, that huge amount of money that was siphoned off the account or out of the account recently, multiples of millions, of which they claim to have recovered in the vicinity of 20-something, 27 million or so has been recovered, supposedly. He says there's no evidence of it having been
paid over to KDM.
apparently so. You know, it's one thing to say we've identified and there it is, but apparently it hasn't come back. Or if it has, the councillors, have no knowledge of it. It hasn't been presented as a fait accompli and they can't get any information. So it's, as you say,
it
would appear that the money was stolen locally, flagged. Action was taken to apprehend the villains. Not one has been apprehended, and it would appear, and I say it would appear because I have no information to the contrary or to verify, but simply the word of the councillor, that they have no evidence that the money has been brought back.
The party of no consequences.
Unbelievable.
But you must be, actually, you know, if you were a serving ANC official in any capacity and you look around you and people are just stealing hand over fist with no consequences, you'd probably be a fool if you didn't join in, you know. And that's what's got to change. You know, that's what's got to change. That's where we need the partners in the GNU to say, listen, man, come, let's start cleaning up house. And you know how you clean up house? You clean it up from the top down. You know, you've got a minister. He's in the crosshairs. He has been, he has on face value, prima facie, been a corrupt minister. He's in bed with organized crime. People he said he didn't know, and now suddenly he does know because he's in WhatsApp comms with them all the time. And, I mean, we're not stupid. You can see the problem. And then just address it. Have him prosecuted. Set an example. And you start having a culture that's not one of thievery and a culture that's one where you don't accept incompetent people in positions that they can't handle.
But I think you've raised a valid point, and you say it's got to start from the top.
Yeah.
And when you consider that the top has a matter of household furniture stuffed with US dollars to
account. Well, exactly. You know, I mean, that's the point I made right in the beginning. Does anybody honestly believe that there's an ANC minister who's not tainted by corruption? You know, if the president is, you know, I mean, that's really all you need to know. And so, you know, I mean, nobody was fooled by the parlor nonsense. You know, if you or I were caught with only a few hundred US dollars, you know, a few hundred thousand US dollars in our house, there'd be serious questions asked by SARS and everybody else, and they would make an example of you, you know. So, and now we're talking about millions. And I don't even, to them, millions are nothing, but, you know, to us, it's still a lot of money, especially when it's in the dollar currency. And, I mean, that's a massive crime. You know, how did that just go away? You know.
Wow.
You know, there's no, the party of no consequences. You know, you just carry on. But, yeah, there is going to be a consequence. It'll be at the next elections. And, you know, I think South Africans are fed up. You know, this complete debacle, our relationship completely destroyed with America for no reason whatsoever to advance the interests of Iran. Now, one thing you do know, there's a certain type of person that'll sell his entire country out for a check. And you can only imagine that this is what's happened because, you know, there is no logic to alienating the U.S. in favor of Iran. There's no, it's not in the interest of this country. We've never got anything from Iran. Maybe the individuals have. But we've never benefited from a relationship with Iran. Iran's a pariah of the world at the moment, and it's about to be completely changed. And I can tell you now that, you know, the MTN deals and that, we're not going to be in favor of whoever takes over there. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I was just speaking to a mate yesterday over lunch, and he was saying, you know, he's from that sort of Eastern Cape area. I mean, East London is going to be heavily hit by the closure of Mercedes-Benz, you know.
Well, that's American, the tariffs that are going to be levied on us come the end of the month. Is not a couple of weeks before the 30, possibly 40% tariffs for exports.
And we still can't even get an envoy, never mind an ambassador to America, just to start dealing with these issues. But these issues have been coming since January, you know, and we're halfway through the year, and the ANC still isn't organized on it. You know, that's the whole point of you know, they insisted on retaining the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Relations, and they've made a complete pig's ear of it. And the reason that they've done it is because they haven't been straight shooting. You know, they have been another proxy for Iran, and they've done Iran's bidding. They've taken Israel to the criminal court, and they've basically been pro Hamas. You know, these are all things that, you know, these are all fights that, first of all, we don't belong in. And secondly, it does us no good to get involved in. You know, if you have a look at Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, you know, they don't get involved in nonsense like that. They trade with whomever. You know, they'll trade with China as happily as what they'll trade with the U.S. We should do that. We don't have a dog in that fight.
Yeah, it is continuously unfolding. The headlines that continue to break. Or do they? I mean, nowadays it's just announced on social media.
Yeah, it feels like more of the same.
Like yeah. Oil or pollution, all of this information, some of which is credible. Much of it is the product of creative minds for whatever purpose. But one thing is for sure, the center cannot hold, and we are in the process of.
I do think that the GNU partners, you know, that aren't the ANC, have far more in common than what they have in difference, and they are being really silly by constantly having these intestine little battles between themselves, when really what they should be doing is having a united front against the ANC. And calling them to account, you know, and that's, they should insist on you know, and they've got all these little windows of opportunity that open up every time a minister is exposed or malfeasance is exposed. They should jump on those, and you know, and they should insist that they be properly prosecuted, and that we see somebody in an orange overall, and that the money gets recovered, you know, and that's the sort of attitude we need in this country.
And that's a good point on which to end today's discussion with attorney Gavin Steinhoebel from Kloppers Inc. If you need an attorney, a good one, you know where to go. Gavin, we'll catch up in a week's time for some more hard talk.
Always good to see you, Dave.
And the morning show continues.